talk to you this morning about probably the most important subject in the Bible, and that is the cross. I want to begin in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 2, a statement there about the cross that's of great significance. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Mary and I were at a concert recently, and we heard a song that we had never heard before. And I just absolutely love the song. I've downloaded it, and I play it a lot. And the title of the song is, "We Must Not Compromise the Message of the Cross." And when I heard that, I thought about how much compromising there is today in regard to the cross. You know, you hear a lot of people talk about God. You even hear people talk about Jesus and the death, burial, and resurrection. But folks, the centerpiece and the foundation of all that we believe is the cross of Christ. It's because of what took place there. And we just read the verse over there that Jesus Christ went to that cross, and the Bible says that he endured the cross. It was not a pleasant experience. He endured the cross and he despised the shame. And today he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And this morning I want to look at four specific things about the cross that took place at the cross, and the reason that it's so important. First of all, I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 2. The Bible says there that Jesus Christ gave himself as a sacrifice, God offered his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Let's read there. In Ephesians 5:1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath given us, as loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for our sweet-smelling savor." You see, when mankind fell back there in the garden, God Almighty pronounced a curse upon all mankind. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about Adam was that first, the first Adam was made a quickening spirit or living soul. The second was made a quickening spirit. Jesus Christ is spoken of as the last Adam. And that last Adam was what God did, or what God sent, to take away our sin through his death on the cross. So Jesus Christ became the sacrifice that was typified by the Old Testament sacrifice. Under the law, if a person sinned willfully, they could bring the sacrifice, offer the sacrifice, and the blood was shed of that animal. But the Bible says that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. And so Jesus Christ offered himself as a sacrifice. God gave his only begotten son as a sacrifice because it was only through his blood that we could be saved. Look over in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 26, the Bible says, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin." How? "By the sacrifice of himself." Look in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4. "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin." You see, the sins were simply put in remission. But there had to be a sacrifice. And the Bible says that no man could by any means redeem his brother. The blood of mankind could not redeem mankind. As we read over in Acts chapter 20, the Bible says that God purchased the church. Paul says in Acts 20 that God purchased the church with His own blood. Not the blood of a human being. In other words, Jesus Christ was unique. He was virgin born. And the Bible says that God purchased us with His own blood. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, look in verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, can never take away sins. But this man, he's talking about Jesus Christ, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now you can read all through Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, and there are multiple references to the blood of Jesus Christ and how that sacrifice was the perfect sacrifice, the only one that could bring redemption to mankind. So Jesus Christ, when He went there to the cross, He was offered up as a sacrifice. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." But Jesus Christ, when He was offered as a sacrifice, when He told the disciples in Matthew 26, "This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many," carries a great significance. Because that blood was the blood of the New Testament. So even after Christ dies on the cross, and He shed His blood, we find in Acts 2:38, Peter is preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now keep in mind, the blood has already been shed. And yet in Acts 3:19, Peter said, "Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." So as far as Israel was concerned, the blood was simply the blood of the New Testament, just like the Passover lamb back there in Egypt was the blood of the Old Covenant and the blood that Moses used to sanctify the law given to him. Now, there's another important thing that took place at the cross, because, you see, where Jesus said, "This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many," Paul, our apostle, said, "He gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." You see, the salvation of the apostle Paul open the door of salvation to all men, whether they be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, and no longer, after Paul is saved, is it a matter of whether you're blessed in Israel or not. It's a matter of what Christ did at the cross. So look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul again writing about Christ, he says, "For He hath made Him," that is Christ, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Now that's a wonderful verse. You see in the preceding verses, down in verse 18, it says, "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Why is all of that possible? God made Him to be sin for us. When Jesus Christ hung on that cross, it wasn't just that He was a sacrifice for sin. God literally made Him to be sin for us. And the Bible says over in Philippians chapter 2 that the reason that God, the reason Jesus did that is because He was obedient. In Philippians chapter 2, I'm sorry, in chapter 1, He talks about Jesus Christ being in the form of a servant. I said chapter 1. It is chapter 2. I'm sorry. Verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, not robbed equal with God, notice now, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, notice now, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, folks, the death of the cross was so significant because it was a place for criminals. It wasn't like they just took Jesus Christ out and killed him. It wasn't like they just took him out and cut his throat or stabbed him. No, he was identified with all of mankind, with sinful mankind, when he was hung on that cross as a criminal. And when God allowed his son to go to that cross, the Bible says that God made him to be sin for us. You think about the most despicable sin that you can think of in your mind, and it would be different for different people. But regardless of what it is, that is what Jesus Christ became on that cross. He became everything sinful. Now that's hard to imagine. Why? Because he was the only begotten Son of God. He was perfect. He never sinned. They could not find any fault in him. And yet he went there to the cross. He was offered up as a sacrifice for our sins. And in doing so, God made him to be sin for us. In other words, he identified his son with all of mankind. Not just Israel. Not those that would bless Israel. But he identified his son with all of mankind, and he became our sin. Now, as a result of that, something took place. Look back in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. Matthew 27. As Jesus Christ is there on the cross, in verse 45 of Matthew 27, the record is that from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Every time I read that verse of Scripture, folks, I think about the fact that God did that to his Son, which he will never do to those who have trusted in his Son. Because Jesus Christ became sin there on the cross, God had to turn his back on him. Why? Because God cannot tolerate the presence of sin. And Jesus Christ did not sin in his flesh, but God made him to be sin for us. And when he made him to be sin for us, it was though, and you just need to stop and think about it, it's as though that God's only Son became despicable in the eyes of the Father. Say, well, that's stretching it. I don't think so. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God forsook his own Son on the cross because he made him to be sin. Why? Because you and I needed a Savior. We needed somebody to take our sin upon him and pay for our sin. And that's exactly what Christ did. All of that took place at the cross. He forsook him. But that's not all. I want you to look over in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, in verse 10. The Bible says, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now that's very important, because you see in verse 13, the Bible said, he has forgiven you all trespasses. Now there are many people that believe that he forgave them all trespasses up to the point that they got saved. And after they get saved, then they've got to confess their sins, or they've got to repent of their sins and so forth to get forgiveness for those. That's not what the verse says. The Bible says he has forgiven you all trespasses. But it goes even beyond that, because it says blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. What was that? That was the law, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. I want you to look back in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, in Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Why is it, folks, that today God is not pouring out his wrath? Think about this. Are men today guilty? Yes, they are. Do men deserve the wrath of God today? Yes, they do. But the Bible says that we're living in the dispensation of the grace of God. The entire world is benefiting today from the grace of God, whether they accept that truth or not. Because if it were not for the grace of God, it would be like back there with Israel. If you don't understand about Israel and God's dealing with them under the law, I would recommend that you go back and study that in the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus primarily. You know what? Sin was dealt with immediately and swiftly and severely. There were many things that could take place under the law that would bring death. Why, even a rebellious child, the Bible said, was to be taken outside the city and stoned to death. There were sins under the law that required immediate and severe punishment, the wrath of God. If we were under that today, there wouldn't be any population explosion. I mean, there wouldn't be a whole lot of people on the face of the earth. But that's the way God dealt with them under the law. Now, the Bible says in verse 19 of Romans 3, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith them who are under the law. How in the world could we be under the law today if God took it out of the way and nailed it to his cross? Well, we couldn't be. And that would include the law of the Sabbath or any other law. Paul said we've been delivered from the law. And when people keep the law today, they're denying the truth of the cross. They're denying the truth of what took place at the cross. Oh, they can talk about they believe that Christ died for their sins all they want to. But come on, folks. The Bible says that At the cross, the law was taken out of the way, nailed to the cross, and so today that is not the issue. So he says, the law was given that every mouth might be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So I want to ask you something. Today, is all the world guilty before God? Well, they are in one sense, but in the other, he has reconciled the world unto himself by the death of his Son. So he's not imputing their guilt. Yeah, we're guilty. But we don't have a lot of judges. You see, not only did Christ die for our sins, think about the glory of this. He took the very instrument out of the way that the devil could use to condemn us. So today, in the dispensation of the grace of God, we're saved by what Jesus Christ did at the cross. He was offered himself up as a sacrifice. Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Because of that, God forsook his Son and he allowed him to die on the cross for our sins. And when he died on the cross for our sins, God was satisfied with that payment. He's not satisfied with our flesh. He doesn't see us in our flesh. He sees us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because all of our sins were placed upon him, and he died for our sins. Now, I want you to notice over in Galatians chapter 5, in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 7, Galatians 5, verse 7. The Bible said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased." You see, the preaching of the cross is offensive, folks. So what has happened in religion today? Well, just like Paul said, he said, if I preach circumcision, the cross wouldn't be offensive. Well, so it is today. If a preacher preaches the cross and then turns around and tells somebody, you've got to do something in order to be saved, the cross is not offensive. You see, the cross is offensive when it's preached as the only means of salvation, because that says man is unworthy and unable to do anything in his flesh to merit what God provided at the cross. Therefore, if it's going to be accepted, it's got to be accepted by grace through faith. Not accepted plus something, accepted plus nothing. The cross, the preaching of the cross, is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Look over in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians 3, notice there in verse 17, Paul said, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." Now notice the next verse, very sad verse. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Well, what did we just read about back there in Galatians? Paul said, if I yet preach circumcision, something fleshly, something earthly, then is the offense of the cross ceased. Paul said there are people. Listen, I didn't write this. I didn't make this up, folks. God Almighty said, he said, I tell you now and tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. There are people today who are enemies of the cross of Christ and don't even know it. How do you identify them? Their God is their belly. Their glory is their shame. And they mind earthly things. The preaching of the cross It is what is the most important thing in the world. Look in Colossians chapter 1. I'm sorry, Ephesians. Let's look in Ephesians. We don't have time for all these. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You see, the cross is where we glory because it is where our sins were taken care of. The sin issue was removed because the sins have been paid for. And as I've said so often, and I don't ever mind repeating this because there's so much confusion about it. Most people in the world today believe that salvation is getting their sins forgiven. So you have multitudes of people that go to a man and confess their sins. You've got other people that go to an altar on Sunday morning and confess their sins because they believe that's the forgiveness method. Well, the fact is that your sins were taken care of at Calvary. The issue today is a belief issue. Paul said, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. It's what you're trusting in. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of flesh made by hands, that at that time ye, people like you and I, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you sometimes were far off, are made nigh, how? By the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now notice, and he might reconcile both unto God in one body, how? By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. I heard a man say years ago, a radio preacher, and I've never forgotten the phrase, folks, when it comes to mankind, when it comes to salvation, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Because there is no one that's more prominent than the other. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. You want to be made righteous today? Then quit trusting in your rotten, stinking, no good flesh. And trust in what Jesus Christ did when he hung on that cross and became our sin. And by that death and by that payment, paid for all of our sins throughout eternity. And when he made that payment, God accepted that as payment in full. There is nothing you can do to merit it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do but receive it as a free gift. Thank God that some 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ went to Calvary and paid for all of our sins on the cross. And by his death, his burial, and his resurrection, we're made righteous plus nothing.